All right, welcome everyone to today's Google Search Central SEO Office Hours Hangout. My name is John Mueller. I'm a search advocate at Google here in Switzerland. And part of what we do are these office hour hangouts where people can join in and ask their questions around search. And it looks like I just need to mute someone here. And a bunch of questions have already been submitted on YouTube, so we can go through some of those. But it looks like lots of people are rushing to ask questions here live as well. So maybe we can get started from the top here. On my list, I have Sun Kyun. I hope I'm pronouncing her name about right.
OK, Mr. Dunn, nice to meet you again. I have a complicated situation. Actually, we use ABCKR as a waypoint URLs to redirect for mobile or desktop and for 7 language sites. I have about this. We provide news to number one portal sites of Korea and Japan, and we use our waypoint URLs on those portal sites for, you know, for the destination URL. And I can find the portals, I can find the links of the portal site in the time linking site in Search Console for the destination domains. So what I think is that the waypoint URLs deliver most of the link juice to the destination URLs. Am I thinking right?
I don't know. I feel I need to take a look at how you have it set up before I can really say if that's kind of a good way to do that or not. So if you have some examples, maybe that you can drop into the comments.
I can show it to you now, if you may. OK. I have the Yahoo Japan site. And in here, there are kind of article list of kind of waypoint URLs that has 302 redirection URL instead of our final destination URLs. And their destination URLs are like jp.abc.com, and the waypoint URL is kind of abc.kr. Things like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel I'd almost need to double check the details there. So if you could maybe drop me some sample URLs here in the chat, then I can take a look at that afterwards.
Okay.
I don't want to kind of make a quick judgment call based on just hearing it like that, because it sounds like a little bit more complicated.
Okay. And second is that and third is that lastly, should we register the waypoint URLs to check out what's going on in the Search Console?
I would always do that. Yeah. So if you're using multiple domains kind of in the configuration of your website, even if they redirect somewhere else, I would try to get those verified in Search Console so that you have error information for those URLs.
OK, thank you. And I'll drop the URLs of the sample URL in the chat. Thank you.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you. All right, Barry, I think you're next.
Hey, how are you? So I had a question about Steve, the search engine. So in your Google podcast Search Off the Record, you said you pretty much use that as a way of talking about some ranking signals because you don't like talking about Google ranking signals. And one of the things I found was interesting was that you didn't mention anything about machine learning changing the weights of those ranking signals. I found that very interesting because obviously Bing is very into like saying, yeah, we have lots of ranking signals, but we don't know what the weights are at any moment because machine learning or AI changes that on the fly based on tons of factors. Does Google do a lot of that, or it depends on the specific ranking factor or signal?
I I think it depends is probably the right answer. It's something where for some signals, I know that we do a lot of machine learning to try to figure out how we should integrate them. And for others, we don't use that much. And it kind of also depends a little bit on the specifics of what we're trying to figure out, in the sense of, do we have a clear metric that we could kind of base this machine learning system on? Or are we doing something like, I don't know, training the machine learning system on clicks, and then it just finds the most clickbaity titles that we can show and uses those in search, where you kind of have to watch out for things like that. So that's something where for some elements, we definitely use machine learning. For other elements, we don't use it as much.
So can I ask specifically about one is HTTPS? It seems like it's not, at least Steve, not using it, using machine learning to adjust the weights. And it seems like the page experience update currently won't launch that way. You don't want to say what Steve or
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the different weightings of different parts of the algorithms is something that is pretty tricky to do, because you can't just kind of like manually say, oh, this is weighted 10%, and then suddenly everything else is 10% less overall. It's like you kind of need to watch out for the whole system. So I could imagine some parts of that are things that we evaluate with machine learning. Maybe we use the values directly for machine learning. Maybe we adjust them manually. Maybe we just start with something manual and then see how it goes. I honestly don't know there.
Thank you.
Sure. Rahul. I don't see you here offhand, or you're at least still muted. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfect.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I own a site. It was ranking good before 23rd of March. I upgraded from Yoast SEO Premium from free to premium. After that, the site got de-indexed from Google, and we lost all our keywords. We tried everything to sort the issue. We checked our robot.txt file, sitemaps. We even used the URL removal tool server, and there was a form specific for de-indexing. We even tried that. We also checked, was there any manual penalty or action from Google? Still, we could not find out what was the error with our site. For the past few days, the site has been indexing and de-indexing. The keywords do come back for a few hours, then they get vanished from the Google search results again. What can we do, or how can we troubleshoot this problem?
I don't know. It sounds kind of tricky. I would say offhand, it probably doesn't have to do with the updating of your plugins, but it could very well be a technical issue somewhere, because usually, when we reduce the indexing of a site, when we say it's like we don't need to have as many URLs indexed from a website. We tend to keep the URLs that are more relevant for that site. And that tends to be something that happens over, I don't know, a longer period of time, where it like slowly changes the indexing. So if you're seeing something where like the whole site disappears from indexing, it almost sounds like something that might be related to a technical issue. Something along those lines. What I would recommend doing there is going to the Webmaster Help Forum and posting the details of what you're seeing, the exact URLs that you're seeing, the queries that you're doing, so that others in the forum can take a look and give you some tips. Maybe there's some things that you can do or double check to figure out, is it a technical issue? Is it a quality issue? Is it a spam issue maybe? Maybe the website is hacked. It's really hard to say. But the folks in the forum have a little bit of experience with these kind of topics, and they can help you to narrow that down.
Could it be a conflict of plugin with the theme or with Google Search Console?
How do you mean?
Could there be a conflict of plugin within the site that could result this?
It's theoretically possible. So I've seen situations where a plugin shows a no index and another one shows normal that the page should be indexed. Like that can happen if you have too many conflicting plugins installed. But it's something, again, the folks in the help forum, they've seen these kind of issues and they can tell you pretty quickly, oh, it's like this plugin or that plugin.
Thank you.
Andre.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Great. So it's my first webmaster hours. I've been trying to get in, but every time something happens. So my question now is really serious because we just today, this morning, we received a security warning from Google Search Console that is on all of the subdomains. We have like 400 subdomains. And all of them are showing security warning, like harmful downloads. And when we actually checked all of the subdomains on Google, none of them are showing harmful content. The only place where it's shown is the root domain. So we ran out of all of the possible scenarios what could cause it, and we're lacking some ideas what we can investigate with our infrastructure team to actually get kiwi.com back to north to green zone.
Okay, and what kind of warning are you seeing?
Harmful downloads, and no URLs are shown, no details, like zero details. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack, you know, like.
Yeah, and it's in Search Console, or do you see that in
Google,
the browser?
Google Search Console, only in Google Search Console, and it's just showing only for root domain and no subdomains. When we check every single individual subdomain on the other tools, it's just no warnings, like okay. In security issues report or on some other place, like nowhere.
Is it the uncommon downloads message? Is it
just harmful downloads and no details?
Okay, so I'm not exactly sure about that particular message, but in general, with these kind of things, what you can always do is request a review, and usually what happens is the site is then reviewed by someone manually, and if there are any active issues found, then you'll be informed of the specifics.
Okay, thanks. So we should probably go ahead and submit the request review after we've done and like ran out of ideas, and
yes.
Then we'll wait for this to be done.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. I hope it will work.
Yeah. Good luck. If it doesn't work, if it tends to take too long, let me know on Twitter. Then I can double check with the team here manually.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Oh, but by the way, one more follow-up question. Can this security warning be causing, let's say, heavy traffic drop or like any sort of like loss of organic traffic?
It shouldn't. So
okay, thanks.
Usually that would only affect, like, if people are trying to download something from your site, that they might see that warning in the download section in the browser, but it wouldn't be affecting the kind of the rankings or the visibility in search.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Sure. All right, Olga.
Hi, John. So I have a question about affiliate links. So in the case of WordPress sites, there are many plugins that kind of let you automatically manage and track affiliate links all in one place. And they usually work similarly in that they create a new URL on your site. It's kind of a friendly URL, which is then 302 redirected to the actual affiliate link. And so when you are adding those links on your site, it looks like you are adding kind of internal links, right? And those internal links usually have rel nofollow tag on them. So that, yeah, we are kind of saying to Google that we don't want them to be followed, but yeah, we know that it is only a hint. But when users are kind of watching or reading the article and they hover over this link, it looks like an internal link, but yeah, when they click, they go to the affiliate site. And my question is, would Google consider this setup as kind of a form of cloaking, or is it totally okay to have it this way?
That sounds totally fine. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the important part for affiliate links is that there's a nofollow attached, or that we can't crawl through the links. So if you have a nofollow, or if that kind of that bounce URL that you have on your site is blocked by robots.txt, then essentially you have everything right. And it doesn't matter for us so much that when a user clicks on it, they get redirected to the other site, and like the link initially looks like a link to your site. That's totally irrelevant for us. It's just we don't want to be passing PageRank to the other site.
OK, that's a relief. Thank you.
Sure. All right, Akash.
Hi, John. Hi.
Hi.
So my question is regarding the Core Web Vitals and the AMP URLs. Okay. So AMP URLs are basically like something you have abc.com and then you have your own URL. But when a user searches on Google SERP, it shows googlecache.amp and then the rest of the URLs. So I should consider my URLs as a PHP insight tool, you know, to check what the score is all about, or should the AMP cache? Because what Google is going to consider is what users are actually looking, you know, at the URLs, or what is actually the my URL. So this is my first question. And okay, yeah.
Yeah. So we would take into account what users actually see. And that means if your AMP pages are valid AMP pages and we're showing them through the AMP cache, then that's what we will take into account. Of course, if users navigate within your website and they go to, I don't know, your traditional web version or your locally hosted AMP pages, then those would be taken into account there.
OK. And in case of like signed exchanges, like if suppose we implement that technology, you know, where the URLs are being published by the publisher's original domain, so again, that AMP cache will be considered, or then my initial publisher will be considered as for the page web underscore.
Whatever users see. So that's so my understanding is with signed exchanges, you would essentially be on the AMP cache, but with your URL shown in the browser. So from that point of view, it's kind of the same thing as before.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Sure. All right, Rahul.
Hi, John.
Hi.
So basically, my Google Search Console is not showing page experience report. So what can be the reasons?
Probably the reason there is that we don't have much data for your website. And that is basically based on how we collect the data for the Core Web Vitals report, which goes through the Chrome user experience data. And if we don't have a lot of data for your website, then we wouldn't be able to show anything there. So my recommendation there would be to just manually test your pages and see that everything is OK, and mostly build off of that.
OK, couple of more questions. I have a scenario like we have site A and site B. Social traffic is coming on site A, and the site particular page on site A is linking to site B. So if some of the traffic is going to site B from that particular link, so how will Google take it into consideration? Like, is it organic traffic, or will it consider as a social traffic, referral traffic?
I don't think we would differentiate there. I mean, for search, we don't use traffic anyway as a ranking factor. For the Core Web Vitals, we don't really care where the traffic is coming from. If we have data to those URLs, then we can show that in the Core Web Vitals report. It doesn't matter if that's from social, from paid campaigns, or from organic campaigns, or bookmarks, or whatever.
OK. One more question. Can you talk a bit about topic clusters, brand mentions, and social signals as a ranking factor?
Oh, wow. I don't really have much to say about all of that. That feels like something super vague. And I mean, from my point of view, the main thing I would watch out for is that you really have, I don't know, essentially a good website that focuses on topics that you know a lot about, and where you're able to show your knowledge and your experience and make it clear like what you're working on. And all of that kind of maps to things like topic clusters and brand mentions and all of that. But from a practical point of view, especially if you're going from a situation where your website doesn't have a lot of data yet because there are not a lot of users yet, I would work on just growing your website organically and making it better and better and stronger over time. And then at some point, you can figure out like which topic clusters you want to build out or which topic areas or what kind of experts you want to have on your site.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure. Michael.
Good morning. I was going to ask you about international and duplicate content, but you already answered that on Twitter yesterday, and Barry posted about it this morning, so thank you both. My question, the other major question I have on this new site that I'm working on is, it's a fairly large site. It's a fairly well-known company that's performing well, but the traffic year over year over year is flat from organic search. I think the biggest culprit is the fact that there's pervasive use of JavaScript. The mega menu, main navigation is all in JavaScript. Major sections of the site, like the blog and press release and other sections are all built with JavaScript and not crawlable. I just wanted your opinion on how much that is hurting us versus, say, like Web Core Vitals, which is, we fail a lot of those tests right now, but we're working hard to fix that. But should we instead be focusing on, making the site crawlable?
Yeah, I think that's always kind of hard to judge without looking at the details. And it's definitely not the case that just using JavaScript and having content kind of pulled in with JavaScript is automatically bad. And so I wouldn't take it as it's like, oh, we use JavaScript, therefore we need to fix that for SEO reasons. But rather, you kind of need to look at the details there of what exactly is happening and kind of need to figure out, is it a problem that Google really can't see the navigation? And if so, that's something that you can kind of attack. Is it a problem that the content actually isn't visible to Google because the JavaScript is too complex or does something kind of unexpected? Then that's something worth fixing. But these are individual items that you can kind of test from a technical point of view. And you can use the URL inspection tool, for example, to test the URLs and then look at the HTML to see if the links are there for the navigation. You can look at the HTML there also to see if the content is actually there. And if all of these things are OK, then from a technical point of view, we can crawl and index the content. And then it's more a question of like, what can we do to kind of optimize that? And at that point, it's less a matter of is it using JavaScript or not, but rather maybe we have a complex navigation internally, and we could simplify that and make it easier for Google to find the parts of the site that we think are important. And that's something you could do with JavaScript. That's something you could do with a different kind of navigation. That's kind of the, I'd say, like the normal SEO work then. But that's, yeah. That's kind of, I think the first thing I would try to figure out is like, is there a technical issue or not? And if there is a technical issue, then obviously I try to prioritize that over kind of optimizations like Core Web Vitals.
Okay. Yeah, we did an Ahrefs site audit, and it says over half of our site is orphan pages. So I assume that meant not crawlable.
I'd be kind of careful with just taking a testing tool and kind of blindly trusting the results. I'd really try to dig in at specifics and double check what Google is actually seeing.
Thank you very much.
Sure. All right, Mohammed.
Hi, John. How have you been?
Hi.
Actually, before asking a question, I just want to put a situation here. Let's say I have a parent company called example.com, which caters e-commerce internet marketing services. and we have subsidiary of that, let's say test.example.com, which delivers mobile app related services. So, but we have hosted blogs for both on the main domain, that is example.com. So I here just want to know, in this case, what could be the best possible practices to enhance the visibility and boost the rankings for the product pages, not for the blogs, which are hosted on the subdomain, or we can say subsidiary company?
I don't know. It's hard to say just based off of that, but it sounds like what you want to look into is essentially the internal navigation of your site. Like how can you make it so that Google can recognize that the parts that you care about of the website are also the parts that Google ends up caring about. And sometimes that's a matter of, like, if you have an e-commerce site, taking the products that you really care about and linking to them from the homepage, so that when Google looks at the homepage of your website and says, oh, this homepage is probably the most important part of the site, it links out to these individual products directly. So we can assume that those are very important products for your website. And that's kind of the way that you'd end up kind of growing your site a little bit organically and making it so that the products that you care about are seen a little bit more visibly. The thing that you can't do is just say, oh, I want everything to be seen as more important within my website, because like you have essentially a mass of, I don't know, I call it importance for your website, and we have to find out on which of the pages within your website we should distribute that to. And if you say it's like everything is just as important as everything else, then we can't recognize like which parts are actually critical for your website or which parts you care about, which could be products where you make the most money off of, or the products where you're best known for, or where you're kind of like proud to offer them, or where the competition is really strong, those kind of things.
Should we host our blogs of subdomain at our subdomain also? Is it fine to host them on the main domain?
Totally up to you. From our point of view, it doesn't matter. I would consider what is easier for you to do, what is easier for you to track and to measure. Sometimes a subdomain is easier. Sometimes the same domain is easier.
OK, thank you.
Sure. All right, GK.
Hi, John.
Hi.
If I add 301 redirection for more than 1K URL at the same time, if it is affect SEO rankings?
Can you repeat that once more? Sorry.
Sure. If I add 301 redirection for more than 1K URL at the same time, if it affect SEO rankings?
OK, so if you add a lot of redirects to your site?
Yes.
Yeah. That's totally fine. That's completely normal in the case where you do a rebrand or kind of a redesign of your website. You have to move a lot of URLs from one part to another, and the number of redirects that you do is totally irrelevant.
OK, thank you. What is the reason of sudden traffic loss in specific country only when other country traffic is usual?
I don't know. It's super tricky. Like sometimes traffic just or the visibility in search just goes away. Sometimes it's specific to individual countries, where maybe the situation has changed in that country, the competitive environment has changed, or where maybe our algorithms think that your website is not as relevant in that particular country. All of these things can happen.
Thank you.
Something to add on the redirect side. So I just got a random phone call like a couple of days ago from a large e-commerce site from their SEO team. And they're like, we need your help. Our development team wants to make 5 redirects over the course of a year. So every single URL on their site would redirect, like on day, let's say tomorrow, be one redirect. And then a month from now, another redirect. And then another, because they want to change how the structure works slowly. I'm like, you could tell them I said it's called that's SEO suicide.
Yeah, that's definitely something worth mentioning, in the sense that if you do restructure your site, try to restructure it in a way that you move to the final destination as quickly as possible. and not kind of like the situation that Barry mentioned, where it's like you kind of move here and then here and then here, because every redirect step that you take, it takes a while to be processed, and you will see fluctuations in search when that happens. So if you take everything and you do it once, then it's like you have it done with. Whereas if you do everything once a month, then like every month you have that time of things trying to be settled down and figured out again.
I did ask them to take a photo of the SEO team beforehand, and then after it's all done, so I can see their hair turn gray.
Oh man, so mean. Cool. Okay, Pavel.
Hello. My question is something that you replied to on Twitter a few days ago. So you said that a page may be experiencing some issues because of it's not considered to be in a stable state of indexing. What are some of the factors that may affect that?
I'm trying to remember back what the situation there was. I think, as far as I recall, what was happening there was that things were just essentially settling down, in the sense that if for example, you put a page up for the first time, then it takes a bit of time for Google to find that page, to get it indexed properly. And depending on kind of the current situation within Google's data centers, it can happen that we index it in one data center, and it's not quite available in the other data centers yet. And that's more kind of the, I don't know, organic fluctuations of how things are processed. And it's less something where like there's a technical issue on your side that makes it hard for us to pick up.
Okay.
Cool. Snizana.
Yes, that's right. That's me.
Hi.
Thank you. Hi. So my question, I have actually two questions regarding one website that is a Switzerland classified website. And we were actually wanting to do some changes on our homepage due to page performances, because we are actually rendering everything server-side, and we have some JavaScript script around it that takes a little bit of time to render, and we think that it can be helpful for the page performance if we do it otherwise. So we do have like a menu, then we have a banner, and then we have a few listings on the homepage that are just like the most recent listings or something like that. So we were actually thinking of maybe removing that from the server side on the mobile view and actually waiting for the user to do some action, like scroll down, for it to render or to appear on the website. And the other solution is maybe to just render it anyway after some time, few seconds of inactivity. So I was just wondering, like, is it okay? It's not the essential part of the homepage, though. But is it like user bot friend? Not user, obviously, bot friendly. How would you approach it? And okay, so this and the second question will follow.
Yeah, I think the first thing you have to decide is if you need to have that content indexed or not. And it sounds like you don't necessarily need it. It would be nice, but not critical. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So if it's a matter of it would be nice to have indexed but not critical, then I wouldn't worry too much about it, because it's possible that we'll be able to pick it up, and it's possible that we'll miss it. It's not something where I would say we would penalize a website for doing something like this. It's just for technical reasons we might have it or we might not have it indexed. The way that we usually recommend doing something like this, like, is it's essentially the lazy loading setup, would be to use Intersection Observer, which is a Chrome API, or I don't know, I guess like a general browser API that essentially lets you know which parts of a page are visible at the moment. And Googlebot uses that when we render the page. And we render the page in a way that we take a very long viewport, like a really long monitor. And we try to load the page. And then we tell the page, like, this is your viewport, this tall. And then we give the page time to load the content that would be visible there.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, with that setup, if you recognize that this part of the content is visible and you show it, then we'd be able to index that. That's kind of the more guaranteed way of doing that. The other ways where we have to watch out for a scroll event or for someone to click a load more button, something like that, that's usually something that Googlebot tends not to do. So in particular, we don't know which elements to click on to see if something would load. So that's something where probably we would not be able to pick up that content. But if you use Intersection Observer, probably we would be able to.
OK, so tends not to do means like probably won't be able to do it, but not 100% sure it won't be able to do it.
Yeah. No, it's something like these extra, I don't know, I see that them as extra functionality are things which cost time when we do them in rendering at scale, like if we have billions of pages to do. And our systems try to optimize the time that they need. And through that, it's something like clicking on elements and scrolling are things that are sometimes done when we have enough resources on the side to do that, but they're not something we would consider as kind of the baseline indexing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. OK, thank you. And the second question also regarding this website is that we have a homepage on .ch, and then we have, of course, the three-lingual version of /de/fr/it, so for German, Italian, and French. And actually, the homepage, as you know, German being like the default language for Switzerland, let's say, is pretty much the similar as the /d version. And I have put the canonical to it, but Google doesn't seem to pick it up. It doesn't seem to agree with me and thinks that it's actually like should be self-canonical on the /d. So I was just wondering, like, for now, the homepage is as the /d version, so I don't want to have any kind of trouble with that. I was thinking whether it's okay for now, or how can I, is there any way that I can correct this in terms of the canonical and or any other?
Yeah, I think that would probably be fine to keep like this. It's the thing that tends to happen here is we would see that the content is the same,
mm-hmm.
or mostly the same, and then we would try to revert based on the other signals that we have from the site, which includes things like internal links within the website, external links. We also try to figure out which URLs look nicer, usually the shorter ones. We use your sitemap file, hreflang links, all of those places where we pick up links. And try to figure out which of these URLs is the better one to show. And I think in this situation, probably both of them would be OK for indexing. If you wanted to change that, you'd almost need to figure out, like where are all the places where the /de URL is mentioned, and can I change it to the other one?
Or just change like the whole structure of homepage and remove the canonical to all the de.
I think what would happen then is we'd index both of them separately. And
they are both indexed now, so that's the that's the issue. So even though we have a canonical and /de, it gets indexed and picked up, and you know, doesn't getting recognized by Google as a canonical to the homepage. So my main point was like, is it harmful? I haven't seen anything going on with that. I just wanted to make sure.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it would be harmful.
Yeah.
I think it feels like something where you could probably optimize that, and maybe it makes things like tracking better or all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It's not like a super critical thing.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. Let me skip to some of the YouTube questions in between, just to make sure we don't lose track of them completely. And I'll have more time for all of your questions as well. It looks like endless number of questions today. Fantastic. Cool. OK, I have a site where 1.2 thousand pages are indexed. When I look at Core Web Vitals, especially for desktop, it shows zero URLs. What might be the reason for that? I think we touched on that earlier as well, in that for Core Web Vitals, we use the Chrome User Experience Report data, which is based on kind of real user metrics. And essentially, what that means is we just don't have enough data for your site or for the pages on your site. So that's something where, as your site grows in popularity and has more users that end up going there, we'd be able to pick up some data from that and be able to use that for the Core Web Vitals report. In the meantime, I would recommend using kind of the manual testing tools for Core Web Vitals, which is, for example, the Lighthouse report in Chrome. You can look at the Core Web Vitals. Also, in PageSpeed Insights is a really nice way to look at the Core Web Vitals. And there's also webpagetest.org, which is a cool way to look at things there. When testing a site, I'd recommend checking a few pages from each kind of template that you have. So you don't need to check all 1.2 thousand pages, but maybe your home page, a category page, and one of the detail pages. And then based on that, you have a little bit of an idea of how things are standing. Can a small amount of English language text on a non-English language page negatively affect its ranking? Usually not. So usually what would happen here is we, like, depending on the amount of text, we would recognize that there are multiple languages on a page. And what might happen is that we show that link that like there's something on here in another language, and would you like to have it translated? But essentially, that's not a ranking issue. It's more kind of a bit of a usability, maybe a bit of confusing for users in some cases. And from what I've seen recently, it's not the case that this would trigger just for a handful of English or kind of different language words on a page, but really if there's a significant amount of different language content on a page. We're updating our international strategy and consolidating markets to folder structure. There will be cases when the content will change based on the IP. Currency content will be slightly modified, particularly if a feature is not available in that market. When crawlers will be fetching the page, they may be getting slightly different versions of the page, depending where they originate the crawl request from. Will this cause instability if the page is slightly different with every crawl? What do you think of this strategy? So what will happen here from a practical point of view is we will crawl your website from one location. And usually that one location is somewhere in the US. So it's not the case that we would look from different locations to see if there's different content. We would just crawl from our primary data center for your site and index the content that we see there. So we would not even recognize that there's something different there. That also means if users in the US, if we're crawling your site from the US, are not able to see your content, then we would not be able to index that content. So that's kind of the primary thing to watch out for. If, on the other hand, for example, users in Switzerland just aren't able to see your content, then I might be kind of upset, but Google would still index everything because Google is crawling from the US, and it doesn't even know that someone in another country might be seeing different content. And the same applies to your currencies as well, where if you're using the same URLs and showing different currency, then we would only see the currency based on where we would crawl from. So that might be the case that maybe we would only see US dollar prices for your site, which might be OK for you. It might be something where you say, well, I want my local prices in the index as well. If you do want local versions indexed, you need to have separate URLs for the local versions. So for the currencies, maybe different URL parameters or whatever you want to do. Also for the individual products, essentially, it would need to be different URLs so that we can index them individually. And they would need to be accessible to at least to Googlebot when we crawl. So if we crawl from the US and we access your Swiss page, for example, you need to let users see kind of the Swiss version of your page so that it can be indexed as well. So all of that is kind of to say it's not quite as simple as just adding kind of IP detection and changing the prices on the fly. You really kind of need to think about what your strategy is going to be when it comes to an international site in search. Since April 13th, some of my blog pages have been de-indexed gradually. The site is about 9 months old. How and why does this happen? I don't know what is exactly happening with your website here. In some cases, it might be that there are technical issues. If this is happening gradually, then that sounds a bit like technical issues. That might be something that you'd be able to see in Search Console, depending on the type of issue there. The other thing is that our index is limited. We can't just index everything on the internet all the time. We kind of have to pick and choose the content that we want to have indexed. And that it can happen that a site is indexed more at some point because we think it's great content. And then at some point, maybe we think, well, maybe the content isn't that great. And we index less of the site overall. So these kind of fluctuations are totally common. If you look at any bigger website in Search Console and the indexing report, you will always see things going up and down. That's kind of just a part of the way that our systems work. So from that point of view, it's not something where I'd be able to point at something specific for the most part. My recommendation there is if you really are kind of lost with regards to why are things being indexed the way they are, is go to the help forum and post the specifics. So your site, some of the queries that you expect, some of the pages that you've seen go away, so that others can take a look there and give you some tips on what you might be missing. All right, let's see. Would you mind to advise if our structure could be seen as cloaking by using the reverse proxy with CSR and SSR web apps for dynamic rendering? So I took a quick look at the screenshot that you included in the question, and it looks offhand like you essentially have two versions of your site running. One is kind of the client-side rendered version that users see, and one is a server-side rendered version that Googlebot and other bots see. And in general, that's OK. That's kind of like how you mentioned it there. It's dynamic rendering. We don't recommend doing that anymore. It's something you can do, but it's not recommended anymore. The main reason we don't recommend it anymore is that it's very easy to mess up and to have Googlebot index something that is not what your users actually see. And usually it happens in a way that Googlebot sees errors and your users see normal content, and you don't even recognize that there are errors being shown to Googlebot. And that's kind of the thing to watch out for. So overall, you could be doing something like this. I would just be very careful when you're doing this, especially with the server-side rendering of something slightly different. The other thing I noticed in your screenshot is that you also routed Lighthouse and PageSpeed Insights to your server-side rendered version, which from my point of view doesn't make much sense, because these tests are meant to give you information on the speed and usability of your website. It's not that the tests need to see a perfect result, but rather you need to find the errors and improve on them for your users. We also don't use Lighthouse and PageSpeed Insight for search. It's really purely for you. So I would at least route those testing tools at least partially through client-side rendered version so that you really have a view of what users would see. Then there's a question regarding US homepage and Indian site links. I need to double check what is happening there. So I don't know offhand. I see some sites that are creating posts, but they're only accessible from the sitemap, so not accessible from the website itself. From a UX point of view, I believe it's a good practice because most of the information can still be found on the other pages of the website. And this way, they can keep the website well organized and only the relevant posts on the website. So the posts are only for SEO purposes. Do you think What do you think about this? Is this okay? So first of all, I think that's a bad practice because Google might be able to find and index those pages based on the sitemap file, but we're not going to be able to give them any weight. Like if they're not linked within your website, then we have no idea of the context of those pages, and we have no idea of the weight that we should give them. So it essentially means you're creating these pages, putting them on your server, and Google is probably ignoring them. So from that point of view, if you think that this is important content, then embed it within your website. If you think it's not important content, then maybe just get rid of it completely. So that's kind of the standpoint I take there. The second part is having a get to know us in the top menu of a big blog. Is that a bad practice? On the one hand, it's probably signaling to Google that it's an important page. So Google will value this page, but we won't have Google traffic from it. Can it harm the other links because it's on the same hierarchy as other menu links? So I think this is kind of like the general case where you have an About Us page or a Contact Us page, and it's linked within the rest of your website. From our point of view, that's completely normal site structure. That's something that we can deal with. It doesn't cause any problems. So I don't know, looking back, maybe, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, at some point people would use nofollow links to try to discourage Google from looking at the About Us page. But like we know that an About Us page is a part of a normal website. So we're not going to say, oh, it's linked from every page, therefore it must be the most important thing on your website. And it does have information about you on that page. So we can kind of crawl that page, we can find it, and we can show it where it's relevant. But that doesn't mean we'll show it all the time. So from that point of view, like, putting these links across your pages where users can find them, where Googlebot can find them, perfectly fine. Ooh, OK, wow, more and more questions. I don't know, maybe I'll just take one or two more here, and then I'll pause the recording, and then we can hang around a little bit longer and go through more of the questions. Let me see. I'll just take the first one here. Rishpa, I don't know if you're still here. Probably.
Hi, John.
Hi.
So my question is mostly about the pop-ups. So any type of pop-up which cover complete screen can be called an intrusive pop-up, or can be you know, harmful or bad for SEO? Or is there some pop-ups like, you know, allow browser notification, or some pop-up which helps user to get correct page or correct information on the page, saying that we have, for an example, we have a category page where a pop-up comes up for the user, which asks user whether they are on the right page or not. If they select yes, they will be continuing on the page. If not, they will redirect it to the home page. So what your thought on it?
We would probably see those as intrusive interstitials. So the thing that we would try to exclude from the intrusive interstitials guideline part is if something is a legal interstitial, which means maybe a confirmation for cookies or a confirmation of your age, that kind of thing. That's something we would consider a normal kind of part of a website, and that wouldn't be problematic. But if you have a full page pop-up that essentially is providing extra functionality, like a sign up to a newsletter or saying like you're on the wrong version of the website, that kind of thing, that would be something that we would consider probably as an intrusive interstitial. And at the very least, we would try to index that content because we think, oh, this is the primary content of the page. Therefore, we should index that and show it visibly. And that's probably not what you want. Oh, no, you're muted.
Sorry. So you are saying it can harm SEO in a wrong way.
Yes, yes. So if it's not a legal interstitial, then it can cause problems.
If the pop-ups which has not covered the complete screen but part of it, and there's no close button, so these pop-ups, like, either you take an you have to take an action on the pop-up. If you have not taken any action, you will not be able to see any content on the page, or or you cannot do anything on the page. But it is not covering complete screen, it is just on the bottom of it. And you can see the page content, but you cannot do anything there. So what about that?
We would probably also consider that intrusive interstitial. Yeah. I think the tricky part is we don't have a percentage of a page that can be covered like that. But if you're saying the functionality is blocked, then that seems intrusive.
Thank you.
Sure. All right, Sagar.
Hi, sir.
Hi.
Sir, recently one of our competitors did some changes on his website. What he did, he had a content and internal links below the fold. What he did, he took it above the fold. And what we observed that the ranking and the click share increased massively. So the Google gives preference to content above the fold more or below the fold more?
I don't think we have strong preferences in that regard. So the main thing is that we want to see some content above the fold, which means like a part of your page should be visible when a user goes there. So for example, if a user goes to your website and they just see a big holiday photo and they have to scroll down a little bit to actually get content about a hotel, then that would be problematic for us. But if they go to your homepage and they see a holiday photo on top and also a little bit of information about the hotel, for example, for a hotel site, that would be fine. So it's not purely that the content has to be above the fold, but like some of the content has to be.
OK, thank you, sir. So I had one more question. Can I ask?
Sure. Sure.
So what we have an AMP website. So the user, they cannot see our website URL directly. They will get to, when they search on a mobile, they will see the cache version URL. So I was checking this in the Google PageSpeed Insights. So what I observed that the cache version URL is passing the core web vitals, whereas the normal URL is not passing the core web vitals. So what should we, which is the correct one?
Both can be correct. So we take into account for the Core Web Vitals what users see in their browser. And if the first point of kind of where they visit your site is on the AMP cache, then that is taken into account. If the next click on your site for a user who's kind of browsing your website is to the AMP version of your website locally, then that is also taken into account. And there are lots of ways that users can get to your content. And essentially, however we show your content to the user, however they see it in their browser, that's what's taken into account.
OK, thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Sure. OK, let me pause the recording here. I'll still be here for more questions if there's anything on your side. And it looks like lots of hands are still raised. But always good to have recordings for a reasonable length. Thank you all for joining. Thanks for watching this. If you're watching it on YouTube, I hope you found it useful and insightful. And hopefully, I'll see some of you again in one of the next Hangouts. All right, let's pause now.